Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Sisters for Society's Blog Talk podcast. We have today with us is me, Kavian, and Tippi, and we're going to talk about branding and setting yourself apart. So we're going to jump into talking about setting yourself apart. Coming from a teenage aspect, we found this essay online. Actually, it was on teeninc.com, and it was by an author called Spider Love. She's from Missouri City, Texas, and her article was actually very interesting, and I'm going to read it to you, and I would love to hear your feedback on Facebook. It says, being different is good. It doesn't matter what or who you are. Those who are different are those who change and shape the world. No two people are ever exactly the same. Everyone is unique, and that is the best thing ever, because no one would ever want to be exactly like someone else. I mean, who would want that anyway? Being different is just awesome. Embrace your own talents and differences, strengths, and just live your life the way you want to live it without having to worry about being judged by unimportant people. No one should have to live up to all the crazy standards put in place by modern society, because there is no room to improve it to make a society where racism is gone and hatred is just about gone. No one is perfect and no one is the same. How we live is our choice, and nothing can stop us from being unique. Sorry. Be who you are, meaning don't stop yourself from being different. Be heard, voice your opinion, and take charge of your life. Set your own standards. Don't listen to the lies about how it's nice being normal, because there's no such thing as normal. All it is being mildly different. If someone says a snarky comment about you or call you weird or you being different, just flash them a smile and say, yeah, I am weird, but I'm proud to be. Keep your head held high and smile. There may be a few bumps in the road, but they will pass soon enough. That's why they're all called bumps. Take my advice to heart and remember that being different is good. She ended by thanking the reader for and hope that this helps you and others who are struggling to find confidence. This article actually touched me in a way. Number one, is written by a teenager. And I thought that if a teenager can think that being different is good, then why can't others?
Why can't adults feel the same way?
Correct. So it's like you have some teenagers that are aspiring to set themselves apart and accept how they are, who they are, and still willing to be out here in this crazy world that we live in without being judged, then we should not pass judgment on them. Like she said, being different is good, and there's nothing wrong or weird about that.
Well, so even growing up, I mean, when I was in school, you had your different groups. You had your jobs. You had your peer groups. You had your outcast to, class and work pot smoking and doing other things. And, you had your quote-unquote nerds, those who were academically more blessed than some of us. So, but I think teenagers now, they get to that point to where they don't care. I mean, some do, but most of them know it's okay if I don't fit into this group. I don't fit into that group.
Right. That's one thing I always found interesting growing up. We had what we called cliques.
Okay.
You had your cheerleader cliques,
mm-hmm.
and then you had the jocks, the football players,
mm-hmm.
and the basketball players and all
yeah.
that. So it was someone that didn't partake in any of those events didn't know where to fit in.
Right.
So they had to develop their own.
Then they were considered the weird.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they didn't fit into any particular group or substandard.
Right.
Set up. And a lot of that is not set up necessarily by adults. We do that as adults, but kids do that a lot.
Right.
They subdivide everybody into mm-hmm. a category.
One thing I was proud of my younger son one time because he was in a class where at his school, no need to mention the name of the school. However, but there was a student that was not on the same level with the other student that was mm-hmm. in the class, and he actually took up for the little girl and told everyone to leave her alone because that's his friend, because she was a little different. But it doesn't mean that she was
weird.
Different or weird, you know, but it was just, it took her a little longer to catch on and things like that. And I actually commended the school at that point in time because they allowed the ones that did have a little bit of a physical challenge or a mental challenge to be in the same classroom
as the other,
and they didn't segregate them out.
Right.
So I actually enjoyed it,
right.
especially with them not having such a mouth or, I'm sorry, such a tighter, what am I looking for the word? The ones that are aggressive.
They're not an aggressive
disadvantaged
right.
child. Yes.
Well, and I think children that are like our youngest sons who are in that, you know, their second, third, fourth, fifth grade,
mm-hmm.
they're more accepting of the differences of their peers.
Right.
Versus when you get into middle school, so you get sixth grade through eighth grade, that's when that segregation starts to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And even more so once you get into high school, in college.
Right.
But our boys are a little bit more open, and the kids in their age group are more open to those differences and not really seeing them.
Right.
You know, I don't care who you are,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be my friend.
Yeah.
You know, they walk and say, I like you, come on, let's go be friends.
Right.
You know, whereas once they get older, it's, oh, well, you know, depending on what friends they've had growing up,
mm-hmm.
and somebody new comes in. And so if the majority of the friends say, no, they're a little strange.
Right.
Like, you know, they wear their hair different, or they don't wear the right clothes,
right.
or whatever. So they're not as accepting of them into their group, so then they kind of follow the mask.
Yeah.
So.
And I also like for the parents that do have a child that is different in a sense, that they continue to push them and to let them know how they can still live a normal life. We have a child in my other son's school that
he's a double amputee.
Yes. He doesn't have any legs, but he has the prosthetic
mm-hmm.
legs. And he marches with the rest of them.
There you go.
And he plays with the best of them. He keeps it moving. And I think that even though, you know, his disability can set him apart, he doesn't allow it.
He doesn't let it
to hinder him from moving on and carrying on through his life.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was awesome.
I have a friend of mine that I went to high school with. Her son is a little person.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually goes to school with your oldest.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when they had open house recently,
mm-hmm.
and she was walking around with him, and he told her, he said, this ramp right here, I'm assuming there's a ramp there in the school.
Mm-hmm.
This is what gives me the most trouble. And she's like, so what do you do? He goes, I just put my head down, and I just push through it. I just look at the thing. He goes, and, you know, some people, he goes, they get a little put off because, you know, they out of their side view, they see this little person, you know, come zooming beside them. So
mm-hmm.
the first thing you're going to do is move out of the way.
Right.
He said, but most of the time when they realize it's me, they say, oh, hey,
mm-hmm.
call him by name. And, you know, he says, I just look it through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just push through. And I think a lot of times, if they've had disabilities their whole life,
right.
That's kind of what they do.
They learn how to push
through. They learn how to push through. I think children that end up with disabilities later on, it's a little bit harder because they know what life was like before versus relearning life.
Right.
So, you know, but it's good, too, that we have a lot of more
acceptance. I had a friend that could take one at the age of 25. He was an auto mechanic before he became blind. After he became blind, he went through a period of self-hatred and a lot of problems. Then he took classes at the Braille Institute. Then he started rebuilding old cars from the ground up. He does everything but the internal workings of the engine and painting the car. Everything.
Yeah.
The body work.
Mm-hmm.
He does it all. He's 45 now, and he's amazing.
Wow.
And probably that knowledge and experience prior to being blind of working on cars was probably a great deal of help, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot, you have to understand, mechanics have to know the ins and outs of almost every vehicle that is currently traveling on the road. And new vehicles come out, they have to know how they work.
Oh, yeah.
And in essence, most vehicles somewhat the same as far as working. It's placement, but, it's understandable. Like I said, if you've had a, quote-unquote, what society would call normal life prior to an incident, and then a disability occurs, it would be... You do have those moments, like you said, where he went through that self-hatred and probably depression of, thinking my whole life has ended because I can't see and this is my whole thing.
But where I used to live in California, everyone in our entire valley knew him as the blind masseuse.
But see, and that would be cool,
Yeah.
So he had his own personal type of branding, that he created from a bad situation.
Right.
Joining us now is Miss Madison Greenberg. If y'all do not remember, she was on our last blog talk on peer pressure with the team. And Madison, just to catch you up, we're talking about being different from a teenager's point of view. So how being different is not bad, it's a good thing, and how you can set yourself apart and still be successful and still keep going, and So how would you,
before she answers, let me preface with, Maddie lives in her own world. We call it Maddie's world.
Exactly.
She is the most different child I know.
But that's okay.
She's also gifted.
Yes.
And excels in just about everything she puts her mind to doing.
So go ahead.
Well, being different is good in many ways because it sets you apart, makes you unique from the average person. And if you go to school, there's usually race that you can consider the popular, the nerds, all that. And the popular people are the ones that try to be exactly the same. And everybody has their own personality.
Mm-hmm.
So you can never be the same as somebody, and what makes being different the best is you can hold conversations, you can have more unique things to talk about, and if everybody thought the same, then what would be the point of conversations? You wouldn't have something going on and on and on in different point of views, but if everybody had the same point of view, it would be the most boring conversation.
Right. There would be no debate.
There wouldn't be no debate.
So. That's why, like I said, I picked up this article offline looking for things to talk about, and I ran across it, and I thought this was a good article to talk about and just to reach out there to our children and our teenagers and let them know that being different is good. It doesn't matter what your disability or your weirdness is. It's not... Don't let it hinder you. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So continue to strive for nothing but the best in life, in yourself, and to embrace it.
embrace it and grow from it. So now we're going to switch and talk to the adults that are trying to brand themselves and be more of the entrepreneurs, and we want to reach out to those that just want some information that to share. And we're going to talk about the basics of branding. So we talked about before, everybody knows, you know, the popular branding of, you know, you think of Home Improvement Store and Orange, you think of Home Depot. Your
Blue is Lowe's.
Blue is Lowe's. You know, you think of big box retailer, you know, you're going to go to Sam or even Walmart. You know, you're all in one stop shop, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, there's always the you know, popular branding of Coke and Pepsi and, you know, those things that when you see something, it immediately catches your eye.
Right.
You know, any, you know, particular type of logo, mm-hmm. you know, that would just automatically make you think of a particular product. But, you know, what exactly does it mean when you brand something, and how can it affect your business? Let's start with branding and what branding means. It's a marketing strategy. It involves you creating or setting yourself apart with a specific image or your name or, you know, a specific logo or a tagline. Something that will forever resonate in your consumer mind. Whenever they hear that particular tag, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're watching anything about you.
Mm-hmm.
They could be reading an article and it could just, they could use that sentence
mm-hmm.
and, wow,
right.
Oh, wait, you know, I need to go to Home Depot and pick up such and such. Or, and it could be the type of article they're reading about home improvement. It does not necessarily mention anything of that nature,
right.
But it reminds you, hey, I need to, you know, go there, I need to finish or whatever. And also, too, it keeps your customers returning to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, that in the back of your mind,
mm-hmm.
You know, when you make your logo, make your tagline or your mission statement,
right.
which, you know, we worked a lot on.
Your motto.
Yeah, your motto, your theme. It brings you back to and brings your customers back to you.
I like some of the lawyers or the, I guess the lawyers, they have one call, that's all.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who that
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Or 411 pain. Then they have the little
yeah.
songs
yeah.
and stuff. We thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It makes you remember
yeah.
who they are and what they're doing. And, you know, okay, I done got hurt in an accident. One call, that's all. Let me call them.
You know? Well, I think it's like, you know, I being that that's what I do on a daily basis. I think Neil Slit says, you know, if you get hit or something, call Slit, Neil Slit, you know, I think that is the 411 pain, I think, is as Shane Smith bloggers in Peachtree City, like that.
Oh, okay.
Like their address is I think, hurtlaw.com. Or 911 or something like that, but it's
a
lot of things, right? But I mean, and his name isn't even hurt. but it makes you like every time I see as I'm going through, I can just see the logo on their letterhead when I'm going through things at work. And I'm like, oh, that's such and such. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Right.
Like you know,
yeah.
you know,
they've branded themselves very
right.
Well.
You know, Morgan & Morgan is a big one that's out of Atlanta, but they're also out of Florida
mm-hmm.
as well. And so we go down to Florida, and I'm like, I see all these billboards, and they're everywhere between Orlando and Miami. There's all kinds of billboards for attorneys out there. And I'm like, hey, I know that one. And it's just by seeing the name,
mm-hmm.
or they most of them just have their logo at the top,
mm-hmm.
and they might have a picture. Now, whether or not it's one of their real attorneys, you never know. It could be, because I think
Tim Nugent actually does his own.
It's one of those things that makes you think about that. Let's see. So in coming up with your brand and your logo and stuff, you really have to define what your company's mission is going to be. So that's basically, you know, what is your product?
Mm-hmm.
Who is your product catered to, pushed for? What are the benefits of your product?
Mm-hmm.
What can it do for your consumer?
Mm-hmm.
How can it help them? How can it help you? What do your consumers think about your company? Because, and unless you come up with this phenomenal idea that nobody has ever tried,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times it's along the same basis as somebody else. So what's going to be different about your company versus another company that's already doing it? And then make that be your brand right there.
Right.
You've got to set yourself apart so that people know, even though y'all are in the same market, you offer something else just a little bit better
different.
Than what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
or something a little bit different than what they're doing. So if you're selling, for instance, Apple and Android,
right,
they're always competing. You always see the different commercials about what Apple has and what
Android
has.
Right.
You know, so that's what they're trying to capture. That's what captures their customers. You either prefer what Apple has or you prefer what Android is offering.
And a lot of people flip back and forth. Like,
you can,
of course, now you've got the iPhone 6, and then I don't know what the difference is, the two of the 6 and the 6S.
It's the speaker, hello.
Okay.
But then you have Android. Like, they're smartphones. They operate on apps. But it's just how they function, you know. And I think with Apple, with an iPhone, most people that have iPhones have Macs. They don't have a regular PC. They have a regular computer. A lot of people prefer Mac format to a regular, me either. I mean, I have an iPad, but I have an Android phone.
Right.
You know,
I have an iPhone, an iPad, and a MacBook.
Right. See, that's like, I like my iPad,
mm-hmm.
but I like my Android phone.
Mm-hmm.
I like the phone. So, and then, you know, what qualities of your company do you want, you know, your consumers to associate with you? You know, is it, oh, that product is awesome, and, you know, I can't live without it, and I like how that company makes it better than this company. So, again, back to the phone,
mm-hmm.
when you come from iPhone to Android,
mm-hmm.
but it's really like, do you want your iPhone or your Android to come from AT&T?
Oh.
Do you want it to come from Verizon? Do you want it to come from Sprint? We won't mention the other ones because people tend not to like those carriers, period. But those are your three main biggest competitors when it comes to cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so which one do you want it to come from? You know, I've heard AT&T has great customer service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then figuratively speaking. But Verizon has more coverage nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of one of those, what do you want to be known for? And same thing with, you know, cable TV and, you know, satellite and all that.
Right.
So those are some things to consider when you are trying to brand yourself. Get a logo.
A great logo.
And place it everywhere, on your flyers, on your events, on your
clothes,
on your, I mean, wear that logo out if you can. So that's what sets you apart. That's what people are looking for. Does your logo mean anything? If it does, tell it. Tell people what it means. What is it symbolizing?
It also goes to your brand messaging.
Yeah.
So wherever you put your logo is where you want your message to be. It's what you want people to see.
Right.
It's associate, you know, with whatever your service you're offering them.
Right.
if you are going to, you know, start up a business where you're going to answer your phone, doesn't matter if it's a one-stop shop to begin with, when you answer your phone, answer with your company name. You know, if you're going to have your cell phone number out on your logo and whatever you're putting out into the public, stop answering the phone. Hello? Start answering. Sisters for Society Corporation. You know, whatever's going to, if you know it's not a number that's not mom calling, it's not dad calling, it's not the kids calling, answer the phone based upon whatever business you're running.
Yes.
Because you never know who's going to be on the other end of that call.
Yes.
And it could be a difference between your business going completely skyrocketing through the roof,
mm-hmm.
or if you just hit the phone, hello. You know, it could be Donald Trump on the other line, and he might think he has the wrong number, and he might hang up. I just threw that out there, not saying that Donald Trump is going to call. We can hope. So you have to create a voice for your brand, but I think we should get Morgan Freeman just because I love his voice. I think he should be our logo brand speaker. No, okay. I thought I'd throw that out there. He's got a nice voice. Yeah. It's a creative voice for your brand. So you need to, develop a tagline. But that also, I think this would also fall under your mission statement, would it not? Would you not agree?
Oh, it depends. It could be your motto. Because I was just embracing our youth,
right.
Encouraging our women, and improving our society. But our logo is to women.
Our mission statement.
Our logo is to women faith in the world.
Right.
And then our mission statement is all of that combined.
Fine.
So it's, you know.
It could be incorporated into both.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you want to make sure that when you create your logo, it's something eye-catching and that you use it all the way through everything. Don't change up your color scheme. Don't change up your format. Make sure it's all the same. Make sure you stay true to your customers and what you're offering them.
Be consistent.
Yes. Make sure that, you know, you don't constantly change everything that you're doing, because otherwise you're going to get lost in the shuffle of things and you're not going to make a memorable, lasting impression on your customer base.
Well, that's going to wrap us up for today. We hope that you have got some great information from this episode of Branding and Setting Yourself Apart. You have something for the teenagers and something for the adults. Continue to join us and follow us on Facebook. Visit our website at sistersforsociety.org. I'm sorry, it's sistersforsocietycorp.org. And follow us on Facebook again. If you go to our website, we have our shirt available to show your support. It says, what does your shirt do? And on the back, it lists a bunch of different things that our shirt does. For instance, it's on the back, it feeds the hungry, helps the homeless, provides assistance to those in need, motivates women and children, creates unity in our community, and supports sistersforsocietycorp.org. So place your order for your shirt today, and we look forward to seeing y'all in the community. And also, we have a holiday photo fundraiser going on right now. Book today. It's only on the weekends. We have a beautiful model home that will be available for you to take pictures. All right. Hope y'all enjoyed it. We'll see y'all next month.